Great to have you along on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're going to turn our attention to an organization here in Wisconsin that's working to make the food industry better for workers, for customers, for the environment. It's called the Dane County Food Collective. And we have one of the members here with us in the studio, Evan Daniels. Evan Daniels is the owner of Cadre Restaurant and partner of Lola's Hi-Lo Lounge of Madison. And Beyond the Kitchen, Evan is an advocate for community involvement and is an active member of the Main Street Alliance, as well as founding member of the Dane County Food Collective. And maybe you work in the food service industry in one way or another. Maybe you could talk about your experience as we move along today. What would you like to see changed or improved? Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Evan, thanks a lot for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Larry. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk about the Dane County Food Collective. How did it get started? Well, I think it's an interesting history.
It was definitely interesting. So the collective was started, you know, there was this little thing that happened a few years ago called COVID. And, all you know, in the restaurant industry in particular, you know, we would always make a joke that it was death, taxes, and restaurants because everybody's got to eat, right?
Yeah.
And then COVID happened, and all of a sudden, a lot of us chefs and restaurateurs found ourselves without
customers.
And it was frustrating. And so for that first year of COVID, everybody, for the most part, kind of just went inside themselves and did their own thing. Restaurants were doing different stuff all over the place. And as we were coming out of that first year, a group of us were socially distancing and having a whiskey in a friend's driveway, trying to talk about how we were all navigating things. And we realized that we had missed an opportunity to collectively navigate this horrible time as a whole. And so we said, well, what can we do to make sure that the next big thing that happens or anything that we really want done, that we could be around to support each other to try to make making change easier. And so a bunch of us got together at a table at Cadre, my restaurant, and we hammered out what was the beginning of the Dane County Food Collective.
It's pretty cool. And you have, and it's grown to be included. It's not just restaurant owners.
Yeah, I don't think the intent was ever, it was definitely started by restaurant people getting together. But I think, you know, a big concern that we had is a lot of organizations that are like that don't have a tendency to be super inclusive. And our food system is a full circle thing. You know, it's farmers and suppliers and food manufacturers, like we're all in the same boat. And so making something larger where everybody that's sort of food adjacent has a tool to come together and work on projects that they think are important was important to us to do.
What are the biggest issues facing the food system today that you're working on?
So the Dane County Food Collective itself doesn't have a ton of structure around those things. So I'll speak mostly to what I know is being worked on.
Sure.
Because essentially what we do is someone who will come to our meeting, there's no membership. You could show up. It's the first Tuesday of almost every month at the Madison Club at 7:30. And if you have a concern or something that you're trying to work on inside of the food system, we'll essentially bring it to the attention of everybody and hopefully make a connection, and then work starts getting done. It's very sort of decentralized. A couple of the things that we're working on right now, in particular, is the Dane County Food Action Plan, which is the first food plan that's been written in the state of Wisconsin, and it covers a whole host of food-related issues from food access to making sure there's a better pipeline to get things from farmers to consumer to commercial rent structure. And so we're writing a sort of an overarching plan that we'll give to the city and the county, and hopefully they'll adopt some of our policies when we're done giving surveys and packaging it all up together. So that's one example. Something that I've personally been working on for a number of years now is trying to find affordable healthcare options for small businesses, because especially in light of the fact that the extended extra subsidies for the healthcare marketplace are due to expire at the end of this year. A lot of restaurant workers, almost all of which are relatively young and rely on the marketplace, will find themselves having the added burden of more healthcare expense. And that what that does is that pushes people away from small business and towards larger corporations where the healthcare is subsidized because of this volume of the customer.
Yeah, and the organization, I mean, these are all local people, local organizations that are trying to, as in a collective fashion, do something that they couldn't each one do individually.
Absolutely. Well, and it's amazing. What I love about the meetings is when you get 20 or 30, 40 people together, meetings are usually split pretty evenly between attending virtually and in person. Turns out when you get that many people in a room and you have something that you want to work on, somebody else does too. And then somebody else has a resource that could be helpful. And the next thing you know, you're already starting to work on a thing and you haven't even left the meeting yet.
Yeah. And I, as I understand it, you like, you might just say, okay, well here, you and you, or they may raise their hand and say, I can work on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do have, you have the collective, but then you kind of break it down to be, you know, to give somebody the responsibilities to actually look deeper into it.
Well, it's all about pointing people at what they're passionate about. Noah Blodarn, who's our executive director, and is now the executive director of Reap Food Group as well, he has a postgraduate degree in community organizing. He seamlessly helps grab these disparate needs that people have and kind of lump them together and point people with like goals together, and it's pretty amazing to watch.
Yeah, that sounds great. The you mentioned health insurance, and that's what kind of benefits exist now for health insurance, and what's going? You said something's going away.
So since the Affordable Care Act passed, health insurance has been sort of interesting and not necessarily terrible. But the interesting thing about it is when the Affordable Care Act came into being, they extended the age of which young adults can be on their parents' insurance to 26, which is, that takes a chunk, a lot of service industry, especially in a college town like Wisconsin, they're going to be in that age range. And so they don't even necessarily want benefits because they're going to be piggybacking in on their parents' insurance. The marketplace, when you're young, absolutely, if you're young and your income isn't super high, absolutely beats the pants off of any traditional insurance plan that you would get directly from a broker or an institution. And so for a lot of small businesses, having to go out and get a health insurance plan with a specific provider and having to worry. I mean, I don't want to worry as a business owner. I don't want to worry about an insurance plan covering everything that everyone that works for me wants to do. I don't want to be in the health insurance business. And so the nice thing about the Affordable Care Act is for a lot of the younger people, which is the majority of our staff in the restaurant world, they can still go out and shop for their own at an expense that would be similar to what a copay would be at most jobs. If that gets defunded, which it is, what will end up happening is almost overnight, people's health care rates will go up roughly 33% January 1st.
Oh.
Of people who are shopping through the marketplace, which is, mind you, most of America. And so when that happens, all of a sudden, corporate rates will go up as well. It's going to go up all the way across the board. And people have budgeted for this. And then all of a sudden, finding a job where the job subsidizes a lot of your healthcare is going to become a lot more important. And that's big corporate jobs and less small business jobs. Because we don't, I have 8 full-time employees at Cadre. Like, that's not a lot of buying power when you compare it to Epic, which has, what, 8,000 employees?
Yeah.
And so we can't, it's taking more of the money from small businesses to provide insurance to their employees for a small business than it is for a large business. And the Affordable Care Act helped bridge that gap.
It's interesting, as I was thinking about it, and I don't remember the numbers, but small businesses really are, when you add it all up across the country, make up a huge portion of our people's jobs and the amount of money that is generated from small businesses is very substantial, but it's each individual one, so they don't, the buying power or what have you, as you say, is not there. So it's kind of putting people in a real bind.
Mm-hmm. And so we've been actively working on trying to find alternatives to health insurance or different ways of being covered. Personally, at Cadre, we use direct primary care, which is amazing, where you're just paying for a singular doctor and people can go get supplemental insurance on the side. But this is just an example of the kind of work that the Dane County Food Collective does, because if it was just me looking, how would I be able to communicate with other people about what I found and point other small business owners at the things that do and don't work for me? And this is the beauty of the organization.
Evan Dano, our guest today, Evan Danos, is the founding member of the Dane County Food Collective, and we're going to go into more detail and give you some more examples of the kind of work going on by the collective itself. And you might even think about it. I wonder if there are collectives in Milwaukee or Green Bay or other places, or if perhaps Evan and others have been contacted from those various parts of the state. You can join in with your own questions. Are you a food worker? Are you involved? Maybe you're a farmer. Maybe you're working a restaurant. Questions and what's on your mind relating to issues? Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you along today on WPR News as we take a look at the Dane County Food Collective and talk about some of the issues that are high of importance when it comes to those who work in the food industry, the whole food system. Evan Danels, our guest, he is the owner of Cadre Restaurant, partner of Lola's Hilo Lounge in Madison. It's great to have him with us, a founding member, of course, of the Dane County Food Collective. And again, questions or comments, give a call at 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. How difficult is it to find qualified restaurant staff these days?
COVID has made it quite a bit more difficult. When COVID happened, I think a lot of industry professionals left the restaurant industry to go do other jobs, and very few of them came back. And so we find ourselves in a position right now of mostly trying, I would say the average age of a restaurant worker has gotten quite a bit younger. And so we're sort of trying to train in a new generation now, but that comes with a lot of its own obstacles as
well. Yeah. I was wondering how common burnout is. I mean, that's a high-paced job.
I mean, I think burnout, especially for a lot of the younger employees that had to experience a good chunk of their middle school or high school years or something like that, learning remotely, that it's a big change to be in sort of a fast-paced restaurant world. So we're trying to be gentle. I mean, the nice thing that came out of COVID with restaurants was it definitely moved the goalposts for how most restaurant workers realized they needed to treat their employees, mm-hmm. and to adjust to the new reality of trying to make things maybe a little more steady and a little less crazy in restaurants.
You know, and it's, as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about, for a lot of people, This is not a long-term career path for a lot of people these days.
It's definitely what a lot of people refer to as a transitional job. A lot of people work in restaurants because they're finishing grad school or they're waiting for their band to get a hit single or any number of other things like that. And I think that's been personally my largest focus with the Dane County Food Collective is trying to find things like health insurance that help make working in a restaurant a career as opposed to a job.
And you've got a website. Dane County Food Collective has a website, and I've noticed some interesting things on the website of things that you're doing. You're trying to be advocates in some ways as well. I mean, information on the website about op-ed writing or what other ones were on there, making videos. So, you know, where you're pushing forth your own thoughts.
Absolutely. Well, and I mean, remember, the collective itself doesn't have views. Like, we're connecting like-minded people to work on whatever it is that they think is important. And so a big part of that is learning how to advocate for yourself. I mean, that's what this is. Everybody in the food system in some way or another has to get their kicks out of nurturing people and being of service. What better way to do that than work on it at the legislative level to get your voice out through op-eds? A lot of people don't realize they have this power. And the beauty of small business and the food system is that you are integral to the community. And so people want to listen to what you have to say. Nobody wants to have all their options be just national chains and giant commercial grocery stores. Like, small businesses are what bring flavor to community.
Here's me, a professor in communication. So I took a look at the information on there, and I thought, this is really good. It's not advocating a particular, it's telling people, here's how you put together an opinion and get it out into the public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the beauty of it, is we realize that we would get bogged down if we had views of our own, and so we're just trying to help empower people to start the conversation.
I'm wondering, have you been contacted? I mean, there's been a little information out about the collective. Have other areas of the state, anybody else said, hey, how'd you put this together?
Not that I'm terribly aware of. NOAA's probably fielded a question or two. As far as I know, at least in this state, we're the only ones doing something like this, which is mostly thanks to having UW and the people who come out of it.
Yeah, another idea the collective is looking on as I was reading through it is resource sharing. And you got all these, you know, I don't know how many restaurants there are in the city of Madison, for example.
So many.
There are a lot. So, and I'm sure there's in the back of everybody's head, well, I want to be the one and I want to beat out everybody else. So there's this kind of competition. But at the same time, there could be ways that you could share resources.
Absolutely. Honest to God, I think COVID turned that on its head. There was very much a feeling pre-COVID of, I got to be better than that guy. My restaurant's got to be the first one to get this cheese every year and these kinds of things going on. And I think COVID pretty well destroyed that inside of Madison. We just all want everybody to be able to survive and thrive in the environment that we have. And I think that's pretty universally felt all the way around, which is why we were able to do this.
Yeah, I think... Well, that might have been the only good thing about COVID.
In our industry, I think that's probably about it.
I can remember spending, going to, ordering online or getting on the phone and talking to a favorite owner and ordering food and going and picking it up to kind of help support the restaurants that I...
Absolutely. And it affected the food system all over the place. You know, delivery grocery became a big thing. More people are eating takeout than dining in at a lot of restaurants, or at least proportionately more. All of those things affect our food system a ton. I mean, you're talking about a restaurant that might have $1 million plus in loan service. And during COVID, the model that they had designed that entire restaurant around gets flipped on its head. You can't really economically change the interior of your restaurant very easily. So you have to figure out other ways to adapt and save. And that's where the resource sharing comes in, is we've done things like establish a buying group with Kesnick so that people could get paper goods for less and things like that.
Oh, okay. So there's ways that you can kind of get together and still be able to maintain your independence of, okay, this is my business, but we all need whatever it is.
Everybody needs to-go containers.
Oh, to-go container, yeah. And do they always have to be with the name of your own restaurant?
Not necessarily, no.
I wouldn't see why they would have to. What about working with local farmers?
Well, I mean, that's something that's very, very front and center in terms of my passion. I moved here because of the farming infrastructure in southern Wisconsin and access to the farmers market in particular. Mind you, that was 24 years ago. Even during COVID, some of those things changed. A guy that is an old friend of mine named Scott Williams had a farm called Garden to Be. And during COVID, a lot of people didn't have the energy to go out and direct market their own farms. And so he started doing it for Farley Center Farms and a handful of other ones. And now he's turned it into a whole business. He supplies probably half of the locally focused restaurants in town, if not more, and has made a huge impact on our community here. And so, but that's more of that same kind of stuff. You know, you can do it, but there's always, somebody's always going to find something more that you can do to make it even better. And that's the goal of the Food Collective.
Well, REAP, the organization, serves as the collective's fiscal sponsor, which is a great organization in and of itself.
Absolutely. It was a perfect match.
Before we run out of time, I want to make sure that we talk about an event. You want to eat some local food and listen to music. There's an event coming up.
Yes, there is. We are doing a music and food festival. But it's mostly Lola's and the guys from the Mallard Stadium. It's called True North. It is next Saturday. Gates open at 3 p.m. We've got six different musical acts going on a stage in the center. We've got 12 local restaurants that'll be vending there. We got a Ferris wheel. and it's going to be a whole lot of fun. We're hoping that this is it looks like it's probably going to be as successful as we hope. And so we're hoping this is the first year of something that we will continue to do. We just wanted something that could bring the north side kind of together, because that's where Lola's is, and bring a lot of restaurants from the north and east side together to just celebrate music and food and everything that comes between.
Yeah, and it's I saw the entry, the cost to get in, the ticketing is pretty cheap, reasonable.
Absolutely. We're trying to keep it as affordable as possible. So the Dane County Food Collective and Dais are both going to be recipients of some of the gate from this. So we're both really excited about that. And I think we're going to have a table too. So if people have more questions about either organization, they're welcome to come find us at the festival.
And that's at Warner Park.
Yep.
At the Duck Pond. And there's even, I think, some sort of executive, sort of higher end tickets too that you can.
I believe the VIP tickets are sold out.
Oh, they are, okay.
At this point. But I mean, even general admission, it's going to be.
What is it, $15 or $18, something like
that? That sounds right.
15, 18 at the gate.
I think so, yeah.
I think it's $15 or $18 at the gate. And you're going to have a chance to sample some food. And some drink and listen to a whole lot of. I looked at the bands. I like them.
Yeah, it's very Matt Girding, who was the mastermind for this whole thing, who is one of the partners in Lola's. He absolutely loves jazz and Louisiana and summertime, and so this positively would not have been conceived of without him.
Evan Daniels, it's been great talking with you. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. It's fun to learn about what's going on with the Dane County Food Collective. I think it's a pretty neat organization, and probably some other areas of the state might be wanting to contact you about how you do what you do. And thank you, as you've been listening in, for joining us today. Our shows are a team effort. We've got Clara Neipert and Joel Patnod, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening, and stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.